So we're going to be in, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning, and just want to remind you that Christmas really is about the celebration of God's love on people. And there's nothing that we deserve or nothing that we've done great, but God just loves people. And because we are His creation, He puts a lot of work in us, and He loves us, and He set a design before us to follow. And so we're going to talk today a little bit about this Christmas story, because it is Christmas time, and we do this so that we would be reminded and not forget what God has done in the whole birth of Christ. And we do the same thing in Easter. We are reminded every year at Easter the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how important that is to each one of us who are believers, and it still aligns and still is a part of God's Word. So today we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, and I want to go ahead and read this, and we're gonna jump into this for a minute, because I just wanted to let you know that Mary and Joseph's their time. There was a hard time. There was a little bit of difficulty, and there was also some joy and joy. But when having a baby, the joy always outshines the difficulties. But it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, and the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place under Quirinius, was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and the family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her birth, and then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Your version might say there was no guest room in the inn for them. So we see here, now we find out here, there's some difficulty in this. Especially ladies would understand and know that when you're about that moment to give birth, you don't want to be walking. You don't want to be, I'm sure that, you know, pictures and things says that she was riding on a donkey, whatever it may be. She's traveling. Traveling is not a good thing, and that traveling is very difficult when you're coming to that time when you are expected to give birth. But Joseph couldn't find a place to go. No one wanted him. And even you think, wow, if we're all registered, maybe I'll have family members in this community, you know, because this is where he was from. He's in this line of David, and he was supposed to go to Bethlehem. Everybody had to be registered. So we see here that in this part here that Joseph couldn't find a place for them to go. And so Mary was very uncomfortable, and I'm sure, and it was also there was an outcast, and the whole city was filled with people. And even on the outskirts of Bethlehem, it was full of people because everybody had to come in and register. So it was full. So all those places that you could possibly go were full. So it had to have been a hard journey for her and for him as well, and especially for Mary being in this moment of pregnancy. I also can imagine it could be pretty hard on Joseph too, thinking God has given us this child to take care of, and here it is. We can't even find a place to go. We cannot find a place where she can be comfortable and deliver this baby. But God always shows a way, and always shows a way. And so we see here that they were put there. She has this baby in what we call like a manger, but also was in a place. It says they laid him in a manger. And I want to tell you what that is, really. It's like a feeding trough is what it is. Now, if you think about that for a minute, a feeding trough, what king, what would you put your baby in where animals eat and drink out of? So this is a sign of how messed up the world really is. Nobody would give this young couple space. Not even come in. So they had to find themselves down some back alley where they had this manger scene here. It had to smell bad, right? I hope you know. If you live in the country, you know that had to smell bad. It had to smell bad. It didn't look good. It was not where anybody wanted to go, but that's what was available. And so we know that this is humility, this is humbleness, and so we see that the Son of God is going to be born in this animal area, this kind of a barn type thing, and then laid into a feeding trough. Wow, what a great celebration that is, huh? But here it is. That's the things that we look at. But there's more going on to this story because God is all a part of this. God is all part of this. Wow. Let's go on. Verse 8 says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And so we see here we find out that the angel speaks to these shepherds who are on the outskirts taking care of their animals, because they got to guess what they have to do too. They have to register too. Everybody is there. Everybody is there. But this angel says, I bring you good news. Now, the angel is not concerned about where the baby's born and those kind of things. This is the way God set it up. This is the way God set it up. And so here it is. It's what we would call it Christmas Day, because it is the first day, first time to celebrate. And here we find out that the Son of God is here and being the Messiah, which in the Jewish peace means the deliverer. The deliverer, the one that's going to deliver Jews out of all the things. But he says, today I bring you good news. A part of the story, this whole story is happening here now at nighttime. But here's what we find out. Why is this good news? Why is this good news? Because this is God's Son coming. The Messiah is born. He is the deliverer. He is it not just for the Jews, but also for us. God's mercy and grace also is here for all people. God's mercy and grace is here for all people. It is. And hope has arrived to the world. Hope has arrived. I want to remind you of the problems that you've had in your life. I want to ask you, how would it go if you didn't have Christ in your life? Because your parents aren't going to be here to bail you out all the time. Your kids, if they did more successful in life than you are, they're not always going to be there to be able to bail you out. They're not always going to be the one that's going to reach out and help you and take care of all your problems. Because really, the problems isn't always the things that we get involved in. A lot of the problems is that we are trying to make life all around us, and we're trying to do life all by ourselves. And this is what we find out. Why is this gift so important? Because the Scripture says that all of us are sinners. Every one of us. Every one of us. Every one of us have done bad things. Every one of us have done things that we shouldn't have done. And the Scripture tells us that. In Romans 3:23, for all have fallen short. Every one of us. For we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And God is the perfect God. God is perfect. And glory is perfect for Him. And we find out that He loves something that has a hard time loving Him back. He loves people who screw up all the time. He loves people who sin in their lives, but He continues to love them. But also says, why is this? Why is it? Ephesians 2 says this, you are saved by grace through faith. That means you have to believe through faith. You just don't get salvation because you want it. You have to believe in it. It's a gift. It is by grace through faith. You have to believe. And this is not from yourselves. It says it is a gift. It is God's gift. So Jesus is God's gift to us. But it's more than whatever gifts that we can give to one another. It is the greatest gift of all. It gives us an opportunity to have eternal life. It gives us an opportunity to have those sins forgiven. It gives us an opportunity to know really how to live life. It gives us opportunity to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. It gives us opportunity to live a life that is pleasing to God. Not pleasing to ourselves, but pleasing to God. And I would just probably think that some of us here today would say that I bet you if you look at your life and you go, right now I can tell I am not very pleasing to God right now. I am not very pleasing to God right now. But I want to tell you that does not stop God from loving you. It doesn't stop God from loving you at all. And so why in the world is all this so important about Jesus coming? Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. We are all lost. without Christ. We are all lost without Christ. We are all lost without Christ. I remember my family without being without Christ. I remember how my family was. We did everything. We did things the way the world did things, trying to figure out how to be good and do those things, but we all fell short. We're all sinners. This Jesus didn't come to save those who were bad people. He didn't come to save just those who had a criminal background. He didn't just come to save those who had a lot of sin in their life. He came to save all, because all of us are sinners. And if you say you're not a sinner, then the Bible says you make God a liar. And God cannot lie. But we can. And we do. But God is in this 100%. I believe that when God gave us Jesus, he allowed Jesus to come on the earth. And this, he's saying, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm all in on redeeming your life. So we are born into sin. We are lost. And we need to work through all that, and we can only do it through Christ. Verse 13 says this: suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors. And when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And the Bible says that they hurried off, and they went and did that, and it was an amazing thing, and all those things. But what we find out here is, even Jesus being in this trough, and they were Mary and Joseph and them in this barn, and so now we got now out there is some angels that God had sent, and they are praising and saying the message, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on the peace on earth, and goodwill to men. What he's saying is, hope is here. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity for your life to change, not just in the moment, not just here on earth, but to change eternally. We need to get this out of our head. Good people don't go to heaven, and bad people go to hell. That's not true. Because really, when we look at it, we're all bad people. We all sin. Who give you the measure line? Who gave me the measuring stick to say who's good and what's bad? Right? In the eyes of God, we're all sinners. We're all sinners, and we see that. And so we see that these angels start praising God because God is worthy of praise, even though his son is over there in a trough and doing that. And so he says he does all that stuff, and it's amazing. And the scriptures later said, then all the angels went back to heaven. Isn't that something? Angels have to make a trip down here to praise God for allowing Jesus to be born here. They do their little piece, and they go right back up. And we find that this story is an amazing piece, because this is the gift of what we call this Christmas. It is the Christmas gift. I've received the Christmas gift. That is that I have Jesus Christ in my life. But I can only receive it through Jesus Christ. I can only get eternal life through Christ. That's it. If we were to look fast forward, I want to go over to really quick by the book of John for a minute. John 18, Jesus is standing with Pilate. He's getting ready to be put on the cross, crucified, and he's going to die soon. He's going to resurrect in 3 days. But here he is. He's standing before Pilate. This is a really good. He's standing before Pilate, and he gives you really why did Jesus come. Here it is in verse 33. Then Pilate went back into the headquarters, summoned Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, are you asking this on your own accord, or have others told you about me? I'm not a Jew, am I? Pilate replied. Your own nation and the chief priest handed you over to me. What have you done? My kingdom is not of this world, said Jesus. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. You are a king then, Pilate asked. You say that I am a king, Jesus replied. And then this is what Jesus says. I was born for this. And I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone is of the truth, listens to my voice. And Pilate, who didn't catch it, said this, what is truth? Today, if you know what the truth is, then you understand exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't understand when I say what is the truth, then you don't know. If you know what the truth is, you probably have salvation if you know what the truth is. But if you don't, you don't. And so we see here that Jesus says, I come for this. I have specifically come for this, that I might die on a cross. I might die for the sins of people. In John chapter 3, Jesus says this. He says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That's what the whole Christmas story is. Eternal life, the gift of eternal life, has now come into the world. This is something that man couldn't do. Man, we could not do, you cannot do this. And he says, for God loved the world in such a way that he gave his only Son, so whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But then he says in verse 17, For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's why he came. That we could be saved through Jesus Christ by what he did on the cross. But to get to the cross, he had to be born. And we celebrate this every year to be reminded of what the Christmas story really is about. We go to Easter and we're reminded about the resurrection of Jesus Christ again. Both of those stories are together. They're bookends from the beginning of Jesus' life on the earth and to the end of Jesus' life on the earth. And they're both very powerful. They're both very powerful, but they mean the same thing. One tells us this, salvation is coming. Here it is. In the end, salvation is here. It's here. Take it. It's available. Take it. Take it. Receive it. You didn't pay for it. I didn't pay for it. Jesus paid for this gift. All the money in the world could not pay for one person's salvation. All the things of the world could not pay for one person's salvation. For even in all that, there is flaws and sin. But the only way that could be done is by a sinless sacrifice. And that was Jesus Christ. And the only Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It says this, for God loved the world in this way. And 18 says this, anyone who believes in him is not condemned. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe is already condemned. What that is saying is if you have Christ in your life, you are not condemned. You're okay. You have salvation. What it is that God sees Jesus in you, sees the Holy Spirit in you, and you are saved, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're okay. You've been engrafted into the family of God. You are part of the family of God. You are now a child of God. But if you do not believe, you are not a child of God. That doesn't mean that you're not a creation of God. You are a creation of God. You are a part of that creation that God created, men and women and people. But here it is. We have to understand and know that we broke the things. And our past relatives and all the way back to Adam and Eve broke God's rules, broke the law, went against God and sinned. And so sin followed man all the way through history and all the way up to where we are today. But thank God that we have Jesus Christ who forgives us of our sins. Listen, there's some things in our life that we wish we'd never done. Amen? Come on now. There's some things in my life I wish I'd never done. You know what? I did those things, and so did you. But you know what's amazing? The world will remember. People remember. But the Bible says that when the Lord forgives and you ask for forgiveness, that he will cast it as far as the east is from the west, and he will remember it no more. That means when Jesus forgives, he forgives. One thing I notice, all the men and women that had did the bad things in the Old Testament, when they're, unless the ones that follow God, and the ones in the New Testament, they're all lifted up. None of their bad stuff is ever mentioned. But here we find out that when we stand before God, our sins will not be mentioned either. Why? Because they're forgiven. If you have Christ, they're forgiving. Forgiven. Now, are we supposed to learn from those? Yes. Is there consequences? Yes, there's consequences for the sins that we commit. Some sin, just more consequences come out. And others, maybe not so much, but it's still sin. But God, when he forgives, and he forgives through Jesus Christ. So that's why he says, anyone who believes in him is not condemned. You're not condemned. If you have Christ, quit thinking that you got to get saved every every week. It is a gift of God. You didn't earn it. When you go back to thinking you lost it, then you're trying to earn it. Okay, come on. Some of you guys understand what I'm saying. Some of you still struggle with that eternal security. I'm just telling you, when you are saved, you are saved. If you got it, then you're trying to win it back by works. You're trying to do better. You're trying to do more good works than you are bad works. And so here it is. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned. Here it is, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. That's it. It isn't because you went to church. It isn't because you can't sing. It isn't because you didn't reach. No, it is this. It is because he has not believed. He is condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. If God sent his Son, and we believe that by faith, we see that by history, if God sent his Son here to die, if we think that there's another way to heaven, then we are ridiculing God by what the design that, and the way that he brought the gift of Christmas to us. That it wasn't good enough, that there's another way. And there's always, there is not another way for salvation. If you want to go to heaven, you have to have Jesus in your heart. That's where I'm getting at. You have to have Jesus in your life. There is no other way. And folks, there is a heaven. And because there is a heaven, there is also, because men have, there is also a place of damnation, which is a place of hell. It is real. It is a real place. When God created man, he breathed a living spirit in him. It's going to live. Even at death, even though the body dies, the spirit lives on. And so we go somewhere. No, not just somewhere. We either go to heaven or we go to hell, and that's just it. Now listen, God will save people at 80 years old. He'll save people at 20 years old. He'll save people at 15 years old. It's when he begins to poke in your heart and he begins to push, he begins to touch you in different ways, drawing yourself to him. You have to come to that place and make a decision. Am I going to receive Christ and accept the thing that I am a sinner, that I need a Savior in my life? Or am I going to say, I'm going to not do that. I'm going to push him away and I'm going to continue to do my life my way. And in the end, there is no salvation. Because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son. This is the judgment, he says. The light, that is Jesus, has come into the world. Amen to that, right? And even seeing that star the Magi, the kings had followed 2 years later. We see even that great light was the light that they followed, but this is even a greater light. This is the light that Jesus, the gospel, the good news has come into the world, and people love darkness. We all know that we struggle in the flesh, don't we? We all struggle in the flesh. And the people love darkness rather than light because of their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it. This is why people don't want to be near God. They don't want to have anything to do with it because they like what they're doing, so that his deeds may not be exposed. What are the things that you don't want people to know? I bet they're dark things. I bet they're sinful things. And this is exactly what Scripture is saying. So that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light. Here it is. Now the person who lives by the light, by Jesus, by the gospel, comes to the light, has that salvation, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. God saved you not just for your salvation, but also that he would use you for his works and his glory. Amen? My life is not my own. My life is not my own, that I gave it to Christ as Christ gave his life to me. That's how it works. And that's how it works for all of us, that we need to understand and know that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. And a man who has not received Christ stands before God after breathing his last breath, stands before God. He has no excuse. He has no way out of it. The Bible says that he is condemned. And people will say, how can a God of love do that? It isn't that God did it, it's that we did it. We lived against his created ways. We chose to rebel against the one that created us. So we do it to ourselves. And we go by our own sins and our own evil actions. But for the man, the woman that believes in Jesus Christ, stands before God. and their breeze is last and before God. It will not be all the sin stuff that you did because you'll be forgiven. You've already been forgiven. It'll be welcome home. Come on in. We've been waiting for you. There are people that I'm waiting to see one day because I believe in the story of the gospel. I have a father that I can't wait to see one day. I know that I'm going to see him again because he has salvation. And I have salvation. And there are some of you that know that you have lost loved ones and they're waiting for you. And salvation gives us that peace even through hard days and hard seasons and hard celebrations. They're different because we've lost someone, that we can be have a peace and also an inner joy that only God, only the Holy Spirit can give. And that is because we have the promise of salvation. Christmas is not just a Christmas celebration or a holiday for the believer. It is a reminder of what God, how much God loves people. It is how much that Jesus was willing to come down on this filthy earth and how dark it is and how nasty it is to redeem all that was lost and give man an opportunity to get right with God. Wow, what an amazing thing. You that are Christians know that when you fall away, you know what needs to happen. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart and it says things like this. You know you need to get right. You know what you're doing is not right. You know your thought patterns are in the wrong place. The things that you're doing are not right. And the Holy Spirit convicts you. It convicts you. It convicts you and wants to draw you back to the Lord. Because that's where you belong. Because you have the Christmas gift in you. You have Christ in you. The Christmas gift came and it was messy. No one wanted them in the house. No one wanted them in their motel. But people are still doing that today. There's no room for you here. There's no room for you in my family. There's no room, Jesus, in my heart for you. It's full of other things. And we send him on down the road. And he'll find a place to sit. He'll find a place to enter. But I hope that's not you today. I hope that you've received him and you have the gift of Christmas in your life. I hope that you have Jesus and that eternal life. Or maybe today that you are in a place where you're like, yes, he is in my area, but I don't know how to connect. At least you're in a good area right now. Because I would love to share with you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And actually truly experience what Christmas really is all about. What Christmas is all about. Think of it this way. You guys that have been in church for so long, think of it this way. Me and Scott would never have a response. We would never know each other without the Lord ever. I would never know Phil. I'd never know Bob. I'd never know Mike. I'd never know these guys. I would never know these guys. But God has a way of bringing people together to serve him together. And we become more together than we were if we lived our lives apart from God. God gives you, if you experience a Christmas gift, he gives you a purpose in life, a real purpose, not to make your bank account super big, not to go out and accomplish all these things, but it's more than all that. It is to fulfill the desires and the will of God and what he has for you in your life. And that's as good as it gets. And when you experience the will of God in your life and you do what he has called you and purposed you to do, it doesn't get better than that on this side of heaven. I am thankful today for the Christmas gift of Jesus Christ. It has not only saved me, but it has saved many in my family. And I'm praying for others in my family that they may know it as well. One thing is, when you pastor a church, God does something to you. And he begins to do it. He could do it in a short time or he could do it over time. But one thing he does is he teaches you how to love people. Love people. Even when other people don't love them, or even when people don't love themselves. And God gives you a heart that is intended to break. Because that's what God's heart does. When we refuse him, time after time after time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we celebrate. The hope has come. to the world, for all men and all women to change their lives and get right with God. And the only way you can get right with God is getting Jesus in your life. Amen? And that is the Word of God today.